Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise the Lord. Lord, help Lindsay. Hallelujah. Thank you. You may be seated. Who is Shirley? Sylvia. Who's Sylvia? Did you do this? You sweetheart. She said, I wanted to do this for you to keep you warm. Can I give you a hug? Honey, you sweetheart. Did you make it? No stinking way you made it. Oh, my word. Double hug. Oh, my word. I thank you. That was so sweet of you. That was so kind. I had to go buy a coat. I have this little fake fur coat I found at Target, $64. It's the cutest thing. What a great reason to spend it to get to come here. But I was still, and here the bag was here. God had already had you making it and providing it before I even arrived, you sweet thing. May God bless it back to you. Don't I look cute in it? I mean, seriously. Thank you very much. So, I have a question. If you're thinking about what you have and don't have, how many have ever heard that the road to nowhere is paved with good intentions? Okay, there's two adorable little kids back here, these two little guys. Would you come here and let me use you as an example? Would it be okay? Would it be cool? Okay, come here, you guys. So what if I said, you, oh my gosh, you're so cute. Is he your little brother? Is he always this cute? You have to tolerate that. All the days of your life, you should see my brother. He's like giant, younger brother, all the days of my life to this day. So what if I said to both of you, gosh, I don't have anything, no money, but I would like to intend to sort of give you money. Sad, isn't it? Look at her face. Picture worth a thousand words. Oh, my word. But what if I said to you, come over here a minute. Here's the guy with the box. Now look. Right? Seriously? So you see, we can have all these good intentions, and they're nothing but the face of disappointment. Okay, but now you have a big decision to make. They're real money, too. One's a five and one's a one. Which would you pick? Oh, you each get one. Which one do you want, the five or the one? One choice. Why? Because it's more. Which one would you pick? Smart man. And because you both are so smart, you can have them both. Thanks for being great examples. Oh, I'll take that. Oh, thank you. Oh, what a day. Sylvia's made my scarf, and they made my day. And my head fell off. Well, not my head, but this thing. There. Have I got it?
Yep.
Okay. Can you hear me? Okay. So the point of that is we could believe that God, in his greatness and his love and his mercy, intended for us to have what the Bible says. But if you never experience it, you've got the sad face. And God is sitting up in heaven saying, I did not send Jesus to the cross for you to have a sad face, because Jesus didn't say, I intended to go to the cross, but whoops, I'm sorry. So now that when he kept his promise and he went to the cross and he gave us the keys to the kingdom and he said, because I live, you shall live also, and we are sitting back with our worm-like mentality, I wonder if God wanted me to have the one or the five. Take it all. Take everything God has for you and all that he intended. But I tell you this from the bottom of my heart, as interesting as it sounds, Jesus is not going to go to the Via Dolorosa, the way of suffering. He's not going to go to Golgotha, the place of the skull, and he is not going to go to the cross again. The next time we on this earth see him, he's going to split the sky, coming down on a white horse, taking his bride back to heaven with him.
Amen.
Now, having said that, the time from the place of the skull and the resurrection of Jesus, getting to the place of his return is called right now. So here we're sitting living in right now, thinking, oh me, oh my, in the sweet by and by. When we all get to heaven, why wait? Why wait? He's not going to do it again. He already did that. Been there, done that, handed them the $6. And now all they have to do is have a good time spending it. You see, they're to enjoy the fruit of their labor. And labor means work. It does not mean toil. It means they had enough faith to trust me to receive. If we ever stop working and toiling to get our $7 paycheck, and instead we use that as our $7 seed and trust God that he would give us the recompense of reward, then all of our worry and torment and fear would be over, because we can trust God. End of story. I want to take you today from passive Christianity to the vengeance of the Lord. Oh my goodness, she was doing really good right up till there. You had me at passive Christianity, but popping into that whole vengeance thing, what nut job have you brought to the pulpit? Hold on. It's going to get better. John 1:7. We are to walk in the light as he is in the light, so we can have fellowship with him and one another. The light is the anointing, the aura, the presence of God, the power of God, literally the illumination of God. Psalm 56:13 means you have delivered me from death. That's good. And my feet from stumbling. Double good. So that I may walk before God with the light of life. Now, light sounds like you flicked on a flashlight. Light actually means the light of prosperity and the light of instruction. When you walk with God in the light of God, you walk in the light of prosperity. I didn't write it. You can't complain to me about it because it's in the Bible. I just read it. I am simply the blah, blah messenger. He wrote it. If you don't like it, talk to him. You know, are you one of those prosperity preachers? Well, I'm one of those Bible preachers. And if you don't like that, I'm sorry. I used to walk around with such a, oh, I'm not going to tell you mentality. They hated me before I didn't say it, and they hate me after I said it. Who cares? I am to walk in the light of prosperity and the light of his instruction. Now, Psalm 89:15 says, blessed are those who have learned, this is so cool, the joyful sound. The joyful sound. My husband, come here. I should have introduced you before your money, but yes, where do you think I got the $6 from? Everybody say how cute he is. Thank you very much. He's a singer. He has palled around with someone by the name of Elvis Presley. He sung with someone by the name of Aretha Franklin. My favorite one, I was there when he got to sing with Roy Rogers and Dale Evans and sang Drifting Along with a Tumbling Tumbleweed. Many of you don't know who that is. Don't talk to me. I'm old. But that's a joyful noise. His is joyful. Mine is basically noise. I was holding my youngest daughter, Jordan, when she was first born, and she could barely talk, but she could talk enough to insult me. And I was singing to her, and she said, oh, Mommy, don't cry. I said, I'm not crying. I'm singing. She said, oh, Mommy, don't sing. He's the joyful. I'm the noise. Thank you, baby. But listen to what this translates. It says, blessed are those who have learned the joyful sound, who walk in the light of prosperity and instruction in the light of your presence, O Lord. This is what it means, the war cry. Joyful noise to God is war cry, battle cry, and shout of joy. You see, I learned one thing in the Bible, that there are two kinds of cry, C-R-Y, exact same word. One C-R-Y, do it to me. I tend to talk fast, and when I talk fast, he goes like this. Nancy Dufresne said to me one time, you're guaranteed tape sales. I said, what do you mean? She said, you talk so fast, and nobody can listen that fast that they all have to go out and buy the tape. So slow down. I got on my good scarf. Slow down. Okay, we're good. And it means, battle cry means, boo-hoo, I'm defeated. Or cry means, poor me. Or it means war cry. Now, the choice how you interpret that is up to you, according to your faith. If you want a boo-hoo cry, I have been there, done that, and I promise you, it could do nothing. Yeah. Or you can use that ability properly and do battle cry against the devil, not boo-hoo cry, saying, oh, I'm so defeated. Listen, if you're going to talk to the devil, don't cry in front of him. You know that deodorant commercial, never let him see you sweat? Well, for heaven's sake, don't cry in front of the devil. He'll take you down. So if any of you can see this under my fingernails, see, it sort of looks like dirt, but it's not. Can you see that? Okay, so now every woman in the world knows what this is. This is eyeliner. So see, I broke my eyeliner pencil thing. I got this eye done, but I didn't get this eye done. I got the top, but not the bottom. And then the thing fell out, and that was all there was. So it's about this big. So I decided if I shoved it under my fingernail far enough and went like this, I'm so not kidding, and if my daughter's listening to me, I'm in so much trouble. But this morning I had this brilliant idea, because I couldn't get it like that. So I thought, if I shove it under my fingernail and get it like a stick to stick out just fine. I'm not kidding. The problem is it didn't work here. Now it's stuck under my nail. You see, it could have had all the right things and right purposes to use it for the right reasons, but if you're using it wrong, it's not going to benefit you. God put all the gold and silver in the earth. He told us to subdue it, to take command over it. It actually means take dominion over it, and we're going to sit back and go, I can't pay my bills today. God, what are you going to do about it? He said, I already did. And we take our prosperity and we stick it under our thumbnail, thinking that we can stick our eyeliner here. We're taking God's blessing and we're using it wrong. And then to top it off, we're letting the devil walk away with all your goods and services because we're sitting there boo-hoo crying and not battle crying. And God said, if you'll just change it a little bit, and change your boo-hoo cry into battle cry, the devil understands both, and he will run. If you resist the devil, he's required by God to flee. Tell my what? Tell my Chloe story. So my baby daughter, Chloe, she wasn't even two yet. She was tiny, a year and a half maybe. And so at Christmas Eve, my birthday's on Christmas, and we always go out Christmas Eve, and, you know, get all the toys you don't want the kids to see. And so he goes into the kitchen and plays the game called Make Lindsay a Cup of Coffee. And I go into the living room and play the game called Some Assembly Required. I put together all the giant swings in the... It's true, right? And he makes me something to eat. He is a marvelous cook. He loves to cook. I'm not going to say it's of the devil because it's not. I'm just saying that my ability is limited. If it's possible to burn water, I'm your man. So I'm in the living room playing Some Assembly Required, putting together a swing and slide thing, and he is in the kitchen, and all of a sudden we both heard this thump. My youngest daughter had somehow experienced some kind of breathing trauma, and she stopped breathing, and she was on the top of the stairs, and she hit the stair. And we went running up there trying to make sure she didn't fall down the stairs. Meanwhile, no cell phones in these days, and she was blue. So I called the doctor, and he was getting my daughter, and I was on the phone with the doctor, and he's saying, is she blue? Yes. Are her lips this? Yes. Is this? Yes. This? Yes. Is she breathing? No. Can she sit up? Can she recognize? No. What does she look like? I said, like a dish rag folded over your arms. He said, run to the emergency room. Well, I had two other daughters in the house, so I had to stay. Happy birthday to me, and he's running to the emergency room. So I ran upstairs, and I got super spiritual. I opened my door in the bedroom. I slammed it, and I kicked the door. Did nothing. Did not change the outcome of my daughter's healing. So I slumped on the floor, and I started to cry. And the Lord spoke in my heart, and he said, it's okay to cry, which I thought, praise God, because I'm doing a really good job at it. And he said, it's okay to cry if you cry for miracles. Amen. And I realized the huge difference between our Christianity, boo-hoo, I'm such a defeated foe cry, and a cry for miracles. I began to kick the door again. And I said, devil, in the name of Jesus, you get your hand off my baby. I earned her. I work for her. I believe God for her. She was my sixth pregnancy. She was my third child that lived. Six pregnancies. I had a bunch of surgeries, a bunch of miscarriages, a dead child. I had all that. You didn't earn this. This is my miracle. So by the time my husband got to the hospital and was able to call me, he said, Lindsay, they think I'm crazy. I walked in here. And he said, I raced in. The doctor hadn't even gotten there, right? He hadn't even gotten there yet. And he raced in, and they put her on a breathing machine, and he watched the numbers go up and up and up till she was at 97%, 98%, and said, I don't know why you're here, but you might as well take her home. Healed and whole. Because I learned, and he knew, he already knew it was me. We learned boo-hoo cry means, come on, Satan, let's have a field day. And battle cry means, don't you dare. Jesus said in John 8:12, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. It is time for battle cry and not boo-hoo cry. It actually translates the light of truth as its knowledge. The Bible says you know the truth, and the truth that you know will set you free. I knew the truth. I just didn't act on it. Why? Because outside forces from the devil himself, listen carefully how I say this, outside forces, what did I say? Outside forces from the devil himself came to disrupt my faith on the inside. Faith is a substance of things hoped for from your soul realm, your mind, your will, your emotions, your intellect, and all of the imagination. I was letting my imagination run away with me. Instead, I had to see my daughter healed. I had to see my family whole. I had to see that Satan was defeated. And in order to do that, you cannot walk by sight. You have to walk by faith. I wasn't moved by what I saw. I had to move by what I knew. But you know from the inside out. We have been living from the outside in. If I got $5 extra, I can pay my bill. If I get a second job, I can do this. If I do that, I can do this. If I can get to the right healing meeting, I am all for that. My father-in-law was Oral Roberts, for heaven's sake. So if all of that is okie dokie if the Lord is instructing. But I want you to know something today. From the fiber of the Bible itself, God never, ever, ever told us to live from the outside in. He told us to live from the inside out. Stir up your most holy faith. You are of God, little children, and greater is he who is in you, the spirit of the living God in you, than he, the devil, that's in the world. And when you stir up your most holy faith and you resist the devil, he is required by the laws of God to flee from you. But if you sit and you give him permission, guaranteed, permission granted, he'll take it. The one thing that I have been chewing on, 3 points of Satan. He has a job to do. His job is to keep you in darkness. Number one, he's good at it. He was in heaven. He knew the rules. Number two, he's a planner. He has tricks and strategies. We go off sometimes without a plan in the world. When God said, be a planner. Lord have mercy. I was with a family member. And Richard and I were there together with them. And then I was with his wife. And we decided to fly back home. And they decided, he and another friend, to drive a motorhome back home. And so my sister-in-law, who is said who they were, oops, who is really super, super good with directions and very meticulous and very detailed, laid out the map, laid out the plan. No GPS, no MapQuest, laid out the whole plan, had it all written out. And she said, if you'll take 65, and they were going down to Oklahoma from where we all were. If you'll take 65, and you take 65, south, north, south, east, west, I don't get that stuff, south, that way. She said, thank God I wasn't driving. But she said, if you'll take it and go south, you'll probably get home before we will. Okie dokie. So needless to say, okay, the guy that was lost was my brother. It's a family thing. It's genetics. They used to say about my dad, he could get lost in his driveway. They were right. So I inherited that. Woo. So while they're lost, we were already home. And my sister-in-law kept saying, why aren't you here? Why aren't you here? So we finally called. She was getting worried. Well, where are you? Tulsa. Terre Haute, Indiana. We were here and made it to Tulsa. They were in Terre Haute. So she said, didn't you follow 65? Yes, I did. Okay. If you'd followed 65, you'd have beaten us home. Are you sure? Absolutely. She said, go out and look at the sign. He came back. He said, well, I was following 65, all right. It was the speed limit. Family genetics. What more can I say? On that note, we'll close. Sometimes we misinterpret instructions and we land in Terre Haute, Indiana. No, we land at the wrong destination. If you will take God at his word and not people's interpretation of his word. When he said, I'm the Lord that healeth thee, no interpretation necessary. When he said, I want you to prosper and be in health, no interpretation necessary. But when you let shall the traditions of man make the word of God to no effect, when you let tradition and people make the word of God to no effect, you're in trouble. Oh, your pastor's building a new house. Psh, 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 psh. You know what I have to say about that? I won't say, oh, shut up, but I will say, oh, for heaven's sake. You don't know their seed. You don't know how God's going to bless them. You don't know what God's promised them. You don't even know what they've been believing for. So if they let the traditions of man make the word of God to no effect, they could live in a mansion or they could live in a hole. One time when I was pregnant, I tended to be, I like to eat. So I quickly, and I wasn't that big, it's just that I quickly expanded. Every time I was pregnant, everybody thought I was having twins. My grandfather was one of 13 kids, two sets of twins and a set of triplets among his siblings. So they always thought I was having twins. No, I was having lunch. So, tis what it is. And so, sheesh. And now this mostly vegetarian admitted my favorite thing was Coney Island hot dogs. It was divine. But I totally lost where I was going with the story. My point was, so when I was pregnant, I did not listen to the traditions of man. I listened to the doctor. I listened to instruction. I listened to God. I listened and I was all faith, all believing God. And I began to believe God for maternity clothes because I didn't want to keep spending money. You know, after a month or two, you can only cut the sides out and put a panel in. None of you men understand that, but all of us women understand that. Rubber bands, your new greatest friend. I mean, all of that. So this woman sent me a peach color maternity dress and I wore it on TV. I got more calls than you could possibly imagine over a peach color maternity dress. And some of them said, wear it again. That's the prettiest color you've ever been in. I thought, oh, nice. And a bunch of them said, I hate that on you. You look stupid. You look washed out. Don't ever wear it again. Don't ever put that on again. And I was so disappointed. So I thought, if I listen to the traditions of man, the only way to please everybody is to walk in with nothing on. And that would be a real disaster. Some will sway you this way. Some will sway you that way, but God said, walk in the light as he is the light. That is his prosperity. That is his instruction. And if you will do it, everything you do, the Bible says, will prosper. 2 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of your faith. Sometimes we like a good fight. That's not your place. Doesn't matter how good you are at it. Doesn't matter how eloquent you are at it. It doesn't matter. That's not your place. Now, I'm not talking about somebody who has to, you know, say that's their living and they are a mediator or something. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when you let the human nature of other people dictate what faith, God's divine nature, is to your belief system, you're already toast before you get the bread out of the bag. It's not going to work. You may want to ask me, okay, Lindsay, how did you learn this? Simple. It's called experience. Hold on. I got slippery ears. Okay. Stay. So I was always that passive person that thought you were to walk in love, and you are supposed to walk in love. You better walk in love. God is love, and if you're walking with God, you're walking in love, and he commissioned and actually commanded us to walk in love. But there is a second side to that. In walking in love, and that is your job, it does not give Satan over here the permission to make you a doormat. I was a doormat. I lived in the dirt. I was on the floor. I was your welcome mat. Please walk on me. And everything that people did, oh, Lindsay won't care. And then I listened to it closer. Oh, Lindsay won't care. She's a doormat. What? I'm going to walk in love. No, what I needed to do was say, I'm going to walk in love. But get thee, not the people, get thee behind me, Satan. You will not do this to me ever again. And it took me years and years and years and years until after I had children. And when I saw the same attitude being plummeted on my children, I had to learn, this isn't good. This is not God. This is not healthy. The Bible says we walk in love, but the Bible also says that we have a Bible right to stand up for God's system. God has a system. It's called healing. God has a system. It's called wholeness. You think you believe that? Yes. Because God promised me that if I let my mind, my will, my emotions, my intellect, and my imagination go, Satan would take it. You see, Psalm 103, 1 through 5 says we are to bless the Lord. Uh-oh, I said it. Fell right out of my mouth. Bless the Lord with my mind. Bless the Lord with my will. Bless the Lord with my emotions. It does not say be a people pleaser. David had an excellent spirit. His spirit was so excellent before the Lord. His instructions were so excellent before the Lord that when he went by his father's instruction, talk about a messed up family, a dysfunctional family. David's father, King David, man after God's own heart, one of the greatest men in the Bible. His dad said, you know, go feed him some cheese and get him some bread. And when he got down there, his brother said, we know the naughtiness of your heart. You're just coming to spy and look stupid. Really? This is the one who defeated the bear. And then he defeated the lion. And he could hit a single blade of grass with his slingshot. And oh yeah, he's the musician out fooling around on his harp. No, he was fellowshipping in worship, communicating with his God. So when God said, you go down there and you take that giant down, while everybody else thought Goliath was too big to hit, David was fellowshipping with God. He thought Goliath was too big to miss. And he said, you come at me with all this stuff, I come at you in the name of the Lord. And I'll tell you what, Goliath is saying, let me tell you something, you little teenage kid. I'm not only going to take you down, but when I take you down, you get in this battle, I'm taking your whole nation with you. Well, don't you know the other people in battle are saying, what are you doing? What are you thinking, you dumb teenage nobody? When he was looking for it, when Samuel was looking for a king, his own father wouldn't even let him in the house. You talk about rejection. You talk about emotion. You talk about his mind playing tricks on him. You talk about his will. You talk about a wounded soul. His brothers are mocking him publicly. David is trying to do the will of the Lord. His father ignored him and said, take cheese to your brothers because they're the important ones. Goliath is saying, I'm going to take you and your nation down. He's shooting off his mouth saying, I'm going to feed you to the fowls of the air. Come on. But he said something important. He said, is there not a cause? He had spent so much time with God himself that he knew that there was a righteous cause. The others knew there was a righteous battle, but he knew God. Hold on. We're in technical difficulty here. Are we good? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Come to Mama. Thank you. We have listened to the world for so long that we actually think the world is our authority. This is not, I am politically minded, and I'm not going to get into politics. But I'll tell you this much, and I am politically minded. I think it's important. I went to law school. I understand laws. And in going there, I understand that if you don't let somebody else dictate your laws and you don't bring God into those laws, the laws of God will not be brought in all by themselves. And people have tried to take God, you know, in the, what was it, 1920s, I think it was, maybe a little bit earlier. They had the horn book. Does anybody remember what a horn book is? That was your school book. It was your instruction book. And in the horn book started out with all of the instructions starting out with the Bible. Then it went into the lessons. Now we take God out of school. How do you like them apples? You take prayer out of school. Well, nobody stopped to take the devil out of school. So if you took prayer out of school but not the devil out of school, now how do you like your product? You see, and so if we continue to do this and take God out of the elements of the earth, we are in the world, but we're not of it, but we're in it. So if you want to take God out of the elements of the world that we're in, we have to pay the consequences. Shall the traditions of man make the word of God to no effect? And I am all for following the law. I love the law. I don't break the law. I believe in the law. I honor the law. I respect the law. But at the same time, I have to say, does the law line up with the word of God? Now, I'm not going to break the law. But I am going to sit down and read the Bible. And I have to pray and say, Father God, in the name of Jesus, where is your heart for me? For me. I'm not talking about the nation, not talking about the city, not talking about the state, not talking about the community. What does your word say for Lindsay? And if your word says that I'm supposed to prosper, then regardless of what minimum wage is, regardless of what the law states is a governed amount of money that you can have for the hour, my God says that I can take my wage, turn it into seed, turn that seed into honoring God in worship, and God will be my source. I'm not going to, hey, if they raise minimum wage, praise the Lord. If they don't raise minimum wage, praise the Lord. What are you doing? I'm praising the Lord because he's my source. I respect the laws. I want the laws to respect me. I want all of that to be right. But finally, I have to say, God, what would you like me to do as far as my income? Do I have insurance? I do. Do I have a retirement plan? I do. But there's stuff. My God is my source. So I have to get into the Word of God and say, if I have a need, I will sow my seed. My job today is to sow seed into you. The Bible says the word is seed. The seed is the word. If I put enough word in you, I have put seed into you. If you will take your faith and attach it to the seed and that faith will produce a miracle. And then when you walk out of here, you may lose your job, you may get a promotion, you may this and you may that, but the Word of God went into you, and the Word of God cannot come back void. And no matter what happens out there, rain, shine, snow, sleet. There's an interesting scripture, and I was reading some commentaries about it, where the violent take it by force. Now, that doesn't mean the violent get violent with other people who oppose them. It means in the spirit realm, the violent, you get violent, you get very, very strong and productive with your faith against what Satan's doing. Charles Spurgeon, he said it this way. He said, a violent anxiety to be saved. He said, but to be saved against the enemy, there's an enemy within you, without, beneath, on every side, in the world, and in the flesh. The devil will come against you with his most violent offerings. But if you will come against the devil with the violence of the energy of the Word of God, you can be productive. Amen. He said, you need a violent mentality of going after it because of the opposition you will encounter. You'll encounter opposition in your wages. You'll encounter opposition in your job. You'll encounter opposition in your house. You'll encounter opposition in your teacup. There's going to be opposition because the thief or the devil comes to steal, to kill, to destroy, and he's good at his job. He's a planner. He walks around seeking whom he may devour, and he is not afraid of you unless you throw the word of God. If you'll throw the word of God in his face, he can't see you for seeing the word of God. He'll turn around. He'll have to flee. Matthew Poole said, these are not lazy wishes or cold endeavors. I could have wished I had $6 to give to those kids, but that would be a very cold endeavor and a cruel joke. Unfunny. They got the $6. No longer is it a cruel endeavor, a lazy wish, oh, I wish and I hope. But it was with the fervency of the Word of God, with the energy that Jesus used to go to the cross, with the resurrection power that God gave him when he raised Christ from the dead, with the Spirit of God, the blessing of Abraham, the mind of Christ, the will of the Father, and all of that coupled into you, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. And if you're lazy with that Spirit, I'm sorry for you because you are missing out on some cool stuff. Healing, wholeness, health, wealth. Excuse me, prosperity, oneness with God, blessing. Is it all about stuff? No. And yes. I can't give them $6 I don't have. I can't bless this church if I don't have anything to give. I can't give to you some. If I have never read the word, I'm not going to preach the word to you. But when you're full, you manifest what you're full of. What do you get when you squeeze a lemon? Whatever it is, it's on the inside. Excuse me, what do you get when you're squeezed? Whatever it is that you put on the inside. Out of the abundance of the heart, you hide God's word in your heart. Out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth begins to speak. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it eat the fruit thereof. And if you are sitting there eating the fruit of bitterness and angst and anxiety and worry and fear and depression, don't be shocked, thank you, my dear, when it shows up on your doorstep. Oh, who are you, devil? Well, I'm what you called on. Now, here comes the tricky part. Say, I wondered when she'd get to that. What affects the way you think, which turns into the way you believe, which turns into the way you operate and act? You have eyes, you have ears, you have thoughts, you have words, you have experiences, you have abuses. You have things that have come against you from the outside affecting what's on the inside. And when you are moved by the outside in, you will always think on those things. God said whatever things are pure and lovely and of a good report, think on those things. My precious father-in-law, Oral Roberts, had tuberculosis when he was 17 years old. He was dying. The papers had been signed to send him to the sanitarium to die in Tallahassee, Oklahoma. And he got healed. After he got healed, he began to preach. And he told me the story. And as he was telling me, I wanted to tell him, please stop. Don't say this to me. I can't listen to this. But I had to hear it. I had to grow up, and I had to hear it. He said, as a child, he picked cotton. And he showed me the scars on his arms. He said, I never want to do that again. It taught me I don't ever want to do that again. I want to do something different than that. And he said, when I got healed, it taught me that I wanted to go and bring that healing power of God to other people. One of his first trips, after being healed of tuberculosis, now think of this, he was living in Ada, Oklahoma. From Ada, he went to Beebe, and from Beebe, he went to Enid. Now, we're not talking a big population. And you're talking about people who had witnessed the healing power of God that they had never seen before. Because Native Americans, he was Native American, Cherokee Indian, Native Americans were dying of alcoholism and tuberculosis. Now, when you have something like tuberculosis and it's a family thing, it's going to spread in the community to be careful to be around you. It is what it is. He was totally healed. And as he was totally healed, he began to preach. He said his shoes basically had nothing but holes in the bottom of them. But he decided one day he was going to go preach. He had no other way to get there but to walk. And when he was done preaching, he was going to stay at the home of one of the people in the house, or that was in the congregation in the church. And as he's walking in there, the husband came out the door. Now, the wife had invited him to stay. It was cold. He didn't even have an overcoat. He had been healed of tuberculosis, but it's still cold. His shoes did not fit the weather and really didn't fit the floor. And the man walked out and he said, I'm not sure you were healed. He said, well, I can tell you I'm healed. He said, I was dying. I was vomiting up blood. He said, I was sent to the sanitarium. He said, I don't care. I don't believe that you're no longer contagious and you cannot stay in my home. He walked back outside, no coat, rotten shoes, nowhere to go, and he kept on walking. And this is the way people have a mentality of preachers. Many people just don't care. They shut the door, and if you're a preacher, you're not supposed to preach. It's okay for a, quote, businessman to prosper. Nobody cared if I prospered in law school. Nobody cared if I prospered because my father was a very successful car dealer. Nobody cared if I prospered if I was digging holes in a trench. But the moment I married a preacher, my God, my God, my God. Okay, I'm all for that if the Bible says that. But if the Bible doesn't, don't mess with me on that. Because I'm not going to get mad at you. I'm going to cast the devil, and then I'm also going to give you the word of God. Because the traditions of man will not make me lie about the word of God. So the word violent is an interesting word. When they say the violent take it by force, it means you aggressively go after it. It does not mean you go aggressively against something or someone. It means you go aggressively after what God has for you. Many times we are that passive Christian that say, I'm going to just sit back, and if the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on attack. Remember that song? Did any of you ever sing that in church? I'm old enough to say I did. If the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on attack. I tell my kids, don't you ever listen to that. Don't you ever sing it, and don't you ever believe it in my household. You tell the devil if he doesn't like it, sit on attack, you're going to make him more mad, and he's going to come against you while you're telling him to sit on attack, and he's going to beat the ever-living tar out of you and everything that you have because you told him sit on attack, and I'm walking in love. I will walk in love. But I will not let the devil take what's rightfully mine, and I will violently go after what God has for me, not the against the person. I am for what God has for me, not against. Now, having said that, I want to read you something. Pressing in to achieve the goal, and it means in Christianity, it means using your faith with corresponding action. Cannot just talk a good talk. If God tells you to sow, sow. If God tells you to pray, pray. If God tells you to do, do. If he tells you to believe, believe. Otherwise, your disobedience is a funny little three-letter word called sin. So why would you let the devil's crowd, who isn't going to give you a nickel if you were starving, tell you what you can't do according to the word of God, and God saying, I love you, but now you just sinned. They're not your authority. Satan comes against your soul. Now, if you're a spirit-filled Christian, you're praying in tongues, you're believing God, you're hallelujah, worshiping and praising, he can't penetrate into that door. But he can go to the next level. Your spirit here, then you have a soul, mind, will, emotions, intellect, and your imagination. And then what you think, what you do, what you believe, and how you act lands in your body, and as it lands in your body, you walk it out. You'll either walk out sick, fear, tormented. David had an excellent spirit, and then when Satan tried to come against his soul, here is a man after God's own heart. Here is a man that fellowships with God, walks with God. He defeated the giant. He's sitting there. He can come up with five smooth stones. He hits Satan in the only exposed part that could have killed him, knocks him down, takes his head out. They're singing in the streets. Saul has killed his thousands, but David killed his 10,000s. He's holding the head to the crowd, and he's defeated by a bathtub. Yeah. Because he stopped listening to his spirit and allowed his soul to take over. God gave you a soul, a mind, a will, emotions, intellect. He gave that imagination to you because you're made in the image, in the imagination of God. You're to do what God did. You're to act like God did. You're to say what God said and get the results God got. But too often we let the traditions of man, the things we see, I've got to have a new car. Okay, get a new car. No, I've got to have a new car. Did God tell you it's okay to get a new car? I'm sure he probably doesn't care. But when that focus on that thing and that car becomes everything to you, that I got to not talk to my family because I got to get a second job because I got to have a new car. I hope you don't wreck it. Because one dent on one of those cars may cost you three paychecks. You know, it doesn't matter what car it is. It doesn't matter what house it is. God wants you to prosper. God wants you to be in health. God wants your soul to prosper. God wants you to walk in the garden. I want to talk to you, and this will be part of the rest of this week. We may need until Christmas. How? I mean, come on. Oral Roberts was supposed to be done with his meeting and come home so Evelyn could have Richard. Only there's too many souls getting saved. So he called her up and he said, delay the birth. Evelyn had the babies on her due date every time. A whole house full of them every day on the birth. And she said, what do you mean? He said, I can't stop. Too many souls are getting saved. And she said, okay, pick a date. They picked November 12th. She said, okay, I agree. You agree? He said, I agree. And he stayed there until the morning of November 12th. He drives home. He sees that Evelyn's in labor and Richard Roberts was born on November 12th. Because they saw something so important, that the Word of God was so precious and so important that nothing was more important than the Word of God, and that God would take care of him. He'd get here so I could marry him. We got all these kids. Now it's hallelujah. But God wants us to live in that type of fellowship and oneness with him. He said, bless the Lord, Psalm 103, 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now here's the process. God loved us so much, he gave us Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. They did not have to work. They worked. They worked naming things and picking out what fruit to eat. And that was work. It actually meant energy. And what the cool word about that word energy, E-R-G-O, ergo, it actually means it energizes you. You have a gifting for God that when you use it, it energizes you. It's not work as in toil that you're so exhausted, but it energizes. When you operate in God's call for your life, E-R-G-O, ergo, it energizes you. So they received energy every time they named one of the animals, every time they named a plant, every time they did this, every time they were energizing. But then they messed it out, got kicked out. And then the next thing you know, you've got Canaan, the land flowing with milk and honey. That promised land got kicked out. And then God said, you know what? These people are moving a lot. They're getting kicked out of everywhere. How about you go and bring them heaven on earth? And if you don't believe it, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on this earth equal to and with the same sustenance it's done in heaven. Give us this day our daily sustenance. For yours is the kingdom on this earth and in heaven, the power and the glory. And on John chapter 17, he transferred it to us. Forever and ever, amen. God did not want us to take our soul and mess with it. He wanted us to take our mind, our will, our emotions, our intellect, and our imagination and be the leader of whatever it is he's called you to lead. If it's your children, praise the Lord. If it's be a leader as a teacher, praise the Lord. If it's to be a leader as a wife or husband, praise the Lord. If it's to be a leader to write books, good for you. If it's a leader to eat pumpkin pie, I so love pumpkin pie. Make sure it's good and praise God, I'm not going to be the one baking it. My pies are as good as my directions. And no, I'm not kidding. So we're to use, bless the Lord, O my soul. We're to use our mind, will, and emotions to bless the Lord. Not to do something silly or go off track or to sin or be goofy. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, everything that's within me. Lord, I bless you with my mind. I bless you with my will. I bless you with my emotions. And when you do, he said, I didn't write this. He forgives all your sins. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from destruction. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies your youth, your mouth with such good things that your youth is renewed like eagles. You know what that is? That's the greatest facelift in a jar ever known to man. Your youth is renewed. You got that, didn't you? Your youth is renewed like eagles. Listen, we can bless the Lord, we can bless other people, or we can be stupid with what God's given to us. But if we're willing to bless the Lord with our mind, our will, our emotions, all that is within us, bless his holy name. He said, Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man. He blesses us. Abraham was the most blessed man on earth. He didn't toil. He just sat there and counted his money. And that's a big, tough job, by the way. He said, if we'll do that, blessed is the man that doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. I'm around ungodly people all the time. nor stand in the way of sinners. I'm always around sinners trying to get them saved. Yeah. Nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Your dog's bigger than my dog, so get another dog. My dog's a chihuahua, for heaven's sake. Every dog's bigger than my dog. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law does he meditate day and night. He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water that brings forth his fruit in his own season. And get this part, whatsoever you do shall prosper. I didn't write that word, he did. A successful journey in every area on your road of life. But it all starts when you cast down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, 2 Corinthians, and bring into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. If you let your thoughts run away with you, they'll keep on going. But we have to bring those thoughts into the obedience of Christ, into the knowledge of Christ. It means you are supposed to be healed and whole and delivered. You know what? You're supposed to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. Think about that, the head and not the tail. Just think of the view. Think of it from that perspective. Why did he want you to be the head and not the tail? He wanted you to lead and not follow. I don't care if you're just leading your pizza in your oven. Do a good job at it. Be the head and not the tail. And don't let the world tell you you can't, you won't, you shouldn't. It is not about your paycheck. It's not about minimum wage. It's not about hourly wage. It's not about a promotion or whatever. I'm all for all of those things. Hallelujah. I'm all for you getting a what do you call that, golden parachute package full of all those benefits. Hallelujah. But whether you get them or not, God has provided for you before you ever had a need. She provided a scarf for me before I ever got to the cold. God has already done the work. So did she. God's already done the work. Now all I have to do is sit back and wrap that baby around my neck and say, oh, thank you, Jesus, I'm warm. And it's wonderful. I got a scarf. I didn't have to pay for it, didn't have to do it, didn't have to make it. I didn't even have to ask for it. It was provided for me before I ever walked into Iowa. So's yours. So's your provision. And you start by saying, Lord, I bless you. Now, the vengeance of the Lord, where I started this message, is the scale of justice. We do not have to walk out and ask God for revenge out of hate. Many of us can't get to the place of total peace and total walk with God and total prosperity and total this and total that, where our thoughts and minds and because we've got so much damage. We have so much baggage, so much other junk that God never intended us to go through, nor did he intend us to keep and carry. So we're thinking, oh God, I'll just walk in love and it'll be okay. And then the minute you see them, you want to deck them so hard they fall faster than you did. Can't lie, be honest. Because you have a hole in your soul. So how do you bless the Lord with an H-O-L-E, in a hole in your soul? God wants you W-H-O-L-E, every whit whole. But if you can't do it, how are you going to get whole enough, W-H-O-L-E, to where your soul isn't destroying you and you're sitting there saying, oh my God, I'd love to do it, but I can't get past this. I'll tell you how you get past it. The Bible says vengeance is the Lord's. I will repay. It's the scale of justice. When I went to law school, everywhere you look, there was a scale of justice. What is it? Will you come here and show this for me? It's a woman usually as the scale of justice, but it's a balancing scale. Blindfold on. Hold your hand out like that. Blindfold out with two equal trays as scales right there. And if it's out of balance, you're out of rhythm, you're out of God's way, out of God's plan, and you are so off balance and it tips the scale will fall down and you'll fall with it. But you see, this may be the devil. Oh, he's got you up in the air. He's got you crazy. He did this. He did that. He did this. He sent this. Somebody did. My somebody done somebody wrong song. I didn't know they know that country song. I didn't know the devil had blue eyes and blue jeans. Oh, my word. And so here you are, and here's the devil, and you're all out of balance, and you're saying, my God, my God, my God. And God is saying, yeah. He said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. The word repay means recompense of reward. May I tell you this? It has nothing to do with the bad guy. Give him to God, walk away, shut the door, don't care. But I, no buts. No. The only but in the Bible is, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. It's all the thing you need. Don't worry about this guy. What you say is, God, I trust you enough that I will worship you with my spirit. I will give you praise with my mind, will, and emotions. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And when that happens, this one becomes so important to God. Do you know what recompense of reward means? He will recompensate you with a reward exceedingly abundantly, far above anything you ask or think. He will recompensate you exceedingly far above anything, any loss or any damage you incurred. So this part, thank you, Jesus, is no longer my problem. Well, you don't know. I could write a book called, Well, You Don't Know. And if I wrote a book called, I could write a book about, Well, You Don't Know, several people in Christianity might fall over dead. It's not my job. It has nothing to do with me. It has a lot to do with God. Nothing to do with me. I bless you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. I praise you. And suddenly, the scales of justice become balanced in my life, and I am repaid by God with a recompense of reward. And God, the Bible says, avenges me. David said, avenge me, O Lord. And when God avenges me, it's cool. And none of the other stuff matters unless I choose to pick it up and stick it back into my soul. But if I make a conscious decision to bless the Lord, that is unimportant. And this is God's job. And I don't toil, and I don't sweat, and I don't get all crazy. What I get is to reap the benefits that God Himself has selected for me. So, my question to you today is, what have you been toiling over, and how fast would you like to get rid of it? I want you to say this. Lord, I bless you today. Lord, I bless you today. Lord, I bless you today. Wasn't that easy? Yes. Now I'm going to get ugly. Here's the hard part. I want you to stand up. My dear friend Kate McVeigh came to me one day and she said, I want you to stand up. Okie dokie. I've known her since she was a teenager. And she said, I want you to give me both your hands. Okay. She said, I want you to do it like this. And then she said, I want you to do this. I said, oh, that was easy. She said, yeah, give it to God and let go. Amen. And it was that easy. I was just being stubborn and fleshly and all that poor me, woe is me, all that junk, crazy stuff that just makes you crazier. Where did that get me? Oh, nowhere, on the fastest train. But if you'll take your hands, this is a tough one, and you'll give it to God, and you'll mean it, at that same split second, He has a Bible right to give you the recompense of reward and recompensate you above your wildest thoughts and dreams. Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, as people are willing to let it go ahead and say, I let it go. If you don't mean it, don't do it. But if you mean it, get ready for the recompense of reward. God, this is me. You know what I've been through. You know my soul. You know the hole in my soul. You know all I've been through. You know all I've forgiven. And you know what I'm carrying. And you know what I won't let go of. Today, Lord, I let it go. I let it go. I let it go. I sincerely give it to you. And I won't be a liar about it. And I won't be a thief about it. When it's yours and I let you have it, I won't take it back and call it mine. It's not my wounding. It's not my bad day. It's not my bad life. It's not my poor me. It's yours now. I let it go. I let it go. I let it go. I let it go. And as I let it go, I trust you for the recompense of reward. In Jesus' name. Now, my prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray for each and every person who had the guts to say that, because I know firsthand it's not easy. I know firsthand it's easy to pick it back up. I know firsthand it's easy to walk back in a room and wish you could just absolutely run away. I know firsthand, but I'll tell you something. I know firsthand what it's like to be free from all that and to walk in the recompense of the Lord.
I don't want to write a book about that. I want to write a book about the goodness of God in the land of the living. And so, Father God, I thank you right now for touching your people with exceedingly abundantly far above anything they dare ask or think. I ask you to touch them with the balm of Gilead right now. I ask you to bring forth healing and wholeness. I ask that their mind is free, their will is free, their emotions are free, their intellect is free, their imagination is free. They are free in their soul. Whom the Lord sets free is free indeed. Lord God, we just lost a lot of weight in this room. We just lost a lot of baggage and a lot of garbage and a lot of junk and a lot of toxin. And now, Father God, we are free to receive all you have for us. Free to do the will of the Father. Free to obey the word of God. And God, most of all, we're free to prosper in every area of our life. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Amen.